All right. In the studio, we are pleased. We have Kaz Kazi, and we're going to be talking about agility dogs. My co-host Steve is going to introduce you.
Kaz and his wife, Hera, have been training agility dogs for over 10 years. While the dogs have been competing at the national level since 2002, they're most proud of the enthusiasm their dogs have for the sport. They first started agility as a way to build confidence in one of their shy dogs, who's become a happy dog and a self-assured competitor. Hera and Kaz teach agility as a great way to build a special bond with your canine companion. Whether playing in the backyard or competing, agility is all about having fun with your dog. Hera and Kaz are active with various dog rescue groups. Two of their agility dogs, Paka and Puppy, were rescued from shelters. Both dogs have gone on to become agility champions. Welcome, Kaz.
Thank you, Steve and Steve.
Good. All right. So let's start talking about rescue dogs, because all my dogs were either abandoned, rescue, whatever. That's where I go when I get my dogs. Tell us about rescue dogs.
Well, we have a couple of rescue dogs. We've gotten dogs both from breeders and from rescue organizations. And when we first got a dog, we did go to a breeder, and we checked out the breeder. And the whole idea is that you end up with this perfect dog. And when we got this dog, it turned out he had a reaction to vaccinations, and he became fearful of almost everything. And one of our trainers suggested that we get into agility as a way of building up his confidence. And so We learned very quickly that dogs, like people, aren't necessarily perfect all the time, but if you work with them a little bit, you can improve their situation. And that's what we like about going to shelters and finding dogs, because they're dogs that have had problems, and usually the problems aren't necessarily dog-oriented. They just didn't fit into their first situation, and so they find themselves in a shelter. But if you give them a chance, give them a little bit of training, give them a good home, you can end up with a great companion for life. And as we've seen in a couple of our dogs, we've got dogs that are competitive in agility and have won championship titles.
Tell me, what do you mean by dog agility?
Dog agility is the fastest growing canine sport in the country, and it's basically dogs running over an obstacle course. There are jumps and contact obstacles and tunnels that they run through, and they run through them in a certain order, and it's timed, and it's very exciting. It's very fast paced, and you'll see it on ESPN and some other Animal Planet will run some of the national competitions.
And what's interesting, some of the dog parks have started putting some of the, do you call them obstacles? What do you call these?
They're obstacles. And yes, the 17th Street Paw Park has some agility equipment set up there.
Lakewood Ranch has some?
Yes, exactly. And in fact, my wife consulted with the county when they were considering putting that equipment in. Yeah, and I think it's great. The equipment's there. We tell some of our students that once they've taken some training in agility, that's a good place to take your dog and continue to practice doing agility. So it's great that these parks are available for people to use.
So I bet I know what your house looks like. You got a ranch with some obstacles in it?
Yeah, our front yard. We have a hard time keeping grass in our front yard because our dogs are tearing it up all the time, going over jumps and going over the teeter-totter. Yeah.
What other types of obstacles are there?
Well, besides jumps, there's tire jumps. There's three basic classifications. There's jumps, and there's a variety of them. And then there are contact obstacles. And these are planks and platforms and ramps that dogs have to run up and down. And the beginning and end part are colored in yellow. And in order for the dog to get credit for doing them, they have to get at least a paw into that yellow portion. So you have to train your dog to be able to perform the obstacle correctly. And for our training, we use all positive reinforcement training to encourage dogs to do this.
And then how about there's a long tube? Is that one of them?
There's a tunnel. There are the tunnels tunnel. And yep. Chutes. There are pipe tunnels, which are fixed and round and can be bent into shapes, U-shaped or S-shaped. And then there's a collapse tunnel or a chute, which is usually got a plastic barrel and then a fabric chute on the end of it. And the dogs absolutely love those. In fact, many dogs suffer from what we call tunnel suck. Every time they run by the entrance to a tunnel, they're immediately sucked into it. They really love those tunnels.
All right, so what sounded like what got you into this in the first place was a problem with one of your animals, right? That's
right. Our oldest dog, Kai, he had some issues, which I talked about before, a bad reaction to vaccinations, and he was fearful. And so we started him in agility, and it really boosted his confidence, and he's gone on to win 4 Master Agility Championship titles. So I think it just goes to show that when you have a dog that some people would go, quote-unquote, a problem dog, It's not that there's a problem. It's just there's an issue to be dealt with. And with training and positive reinforcement, you can take a dog that's fearful and turn them into a confident competitor.
Yeah. So now how would your average person who has a dog, maybe gets it from a pound, and the dog snaps at the owner all the time, how would you use agility to train that owner? Because I understand you have to train the owner, not train the dog first.
Yeah, the dogs take to agility naturally. They know what they're doing when they get there. Really, it's about training the owner, the handler, to be able to shape behaviors in the dog. And we do that through lure and reward. It's positive reinforcement. That is, you find something like a nice, soft, chewy treat or a squeaky toy or a tennis ball, something that the dog really loves, and you have that in your hand, and you lead the dog over a jump or through equipment with that reward in mind. So the dog will do something knowing that they're going to get something positive, a treat or a toy afterwards. And so we use that to shape their behavior. And you can take a dog that maybe has an undesirable behavior like barking or nipping, and you can teach them to focus their energy on something else, like doing agility.
So you're taking away the negative and replacing that with a positive reinforcement.
You reshape. They're an energetic dog, and there's nothing wrong with being an energetic dog. You just have to shape that in a positive direction.
Do you use a secondary reward system, such as a chirper or a whistle or something like that?
Some people use clickers. We like to use marker words, like the word yes. Whenever a dog performs a behavior correctly, we hit them with an immediate yes, and we usually, when you're starting out, give them a treat at the same time. And that way, the word yes becomes this great encouragement. So whenever you say yes, your dog's tail will start to wag because they think of it as being this positive reinforcement.
Great. Do you have kids?
We do not have kids. Our dogs are our kids. All our kids have four paws.
I'm just wondering how this would relate to training of children.
Well, it's great training for children. It really helps them develop discipline, because you have to be consistent in training a dog. And we have students that range from 8 to 80. And the children really love working with their pets, and they take a tremendous sense of pride when their pet can run agility obstacles and do it successfully.
Now, I understand, Kaz, that you're actually an archaeologist by training. How'd you get into dog?
Well, I am an archaeologist, and it came about when my wife decided we should settle down and buy a house. And once we had a house, she said, well, we should get a dog. And I had never owned a dog before in my life. Oh. Our dog, Kai, is the first dog I'd ever owned. And like we said, he had some issues that we had to deal with. And so we did that. And now I just can't imagine not having dogs. They're just wonderful members of our family.
And just mention the name of your business.
Our business is called Ocean Wolf Agility. It was started by my wife, Hira Constantinou, and she is a masterful dog trainer, loves working with people and their dogs, and we've enjoyed setting up this business and working with dogs.
Let's say somebody has a dog or they want to get in touch with you either to do some training or to find out more information. I understand your website's not up yet, right?
No, it's a new business, so our website is not up, but we do have a phone number, 922-5704 here in Sarasota, or they can write Ocean Wolf Agility at P.O. Box 5634 in Sarasota, and the zip code's 34277. And we're forming classes right now. We've been active since March. We've been running classes pretty regularly, and we've put through a lot of students and a lot of dogs and new people to do agility.
And tell us just a little bit about that competition. So you're leading up to this competition, and where are they? How do you get involved with those, and what's
going
on?
Well, most of our clients are people that just want to have fun with their dogs, and there are a few of our clients who do compete themselves, and we do go to competitions. We're going to one up in Tampa this weekend, and two of our dogs, Paka and Puppy, who are ranked number one in their breed in the country, have been invited by the American Kennel Club to come out to California in December and compete against other dogs who are tops in their breed. And so there are competitions that take place here locally. There are a lot of them up at the Manatee County Fairgrounds in Palmetto. In fact, the Sarasota Obedience Training Club will have one the first weekend in December up there. There are several in Tampa. I'm going up to Tampa the next couple of weekends to do that. And then sometimes last weekend I was over in Vero Beach. A club had one over there. And then there are also these national competitions. So it takes place all over the country. Every weekend there are competitions, and it's a great social event for dog people. It's fun to go there and watch dogs, and the people that compete, the competition really isn't one person against another. It's you and your dog against the course, and so it's really a friendly type of competition that everyone enjoys.
So they look for speed, right? They're trying to do a certain speed, and there's other
there
ways.
There will be a number of obstacles to be run, and you have to do it under a certain speed, and you're awarded points for how many seconds you are under time. But really, the emphasis of the competition is you against the course, you and your dog against the course.
Yeah, yeah. And you separate it by different breeds, I guess, like a little schnauzer is different than a you know, larger dog in terms of the obstacles or the time. How do they
That's
do that?
Right. The jump heights vary according to the size of the dog. We have students that range from 5-pound Chihuahuas all the way up to 160-pound Great Danes, and you can't expect them all to perform at the same level. So for smaller dogs, they get to jump over a bar that's less high, and for larger dogs, they have to jump over one that's higher. But any dog can compete at agility. I've seen small Yorkshire Terriers competing and large Great Danes.
What's your favorite breed?
Our favorite breeds are retrievers. We have retrievers, Labrador retrievers, and a flat-coated retriever. I like them because they're a sporting dog, and so their instincts shape nicely to agility. There are other breeds that people prefer for agility. Border collies are very common because their herding instinct is very easy to train into agility. But I love retrievers. There's just something about a dog that no matter how many times you throw a ball, they'll bring it back that I just like.
And, you know, I saw something else on TV. I want to ask you a comment, and that's the one where the dogs catch frisbees as they're jumping into the water. Have you ever seen that?
There are many other types of dog competitions besides agility. There are frisbee competitions. There are also competitions called dock diving, where dogs run along a dock and then they see how long they can jump into
the
water.
Okay, I guess that's the one I saw. They throw a frisbee out, I guess, or a ball or something.
Yeah,
to
a ball or
them,
a bumper toy.
And they go off the end of the dock and they see how far they go.
Up to 30 feet. And in fact, Labrador retrievers are some of the best dogs at doing dock diving as well. And there are other sports that people compete at. Fly ball, where a team of dogs jump over three jumps, and then there's a tennis ball and a platform. And the dog hits the platform and catches the ball and runs it back over the jumps. And it's like a relay race for dogs. So there are many sports out there that are available for people and their dogs.
Do the dogs take turns with that?
Yes, they do. Usually be a team of three or four dogs, and they'll run against another team of three or four dogs.
Very cool.
So there are some sports that are team-oriented and some sports that are more individual-oriented.
All right, for you dog lovers out there, you're listening to WSLR 96.5 Low Power FM in Sarasota, Florida. That's the voice of Kaz Kazi. We're talking about agility dogs, and this is the Surreal News, your news and public affairs show. And in just a minute, we're going to have a Media Matters Minute, and then Jordan Buckley is going to talk to us about the coalition of Immokalee workers and espionage in the tomato industry, believe it or not. All right. One of the things we were knocking around before, Kazi, we were talking about other types of training techniques, and, you know, people have seen the dog whisperer on TV. What do you think?
Well, I think Cesar is absolutely amazing. It's like he can get into the minds of the dogs. And when you're training agility, you need to do that. That's something that we stress with our students, is that they need to get on the agility course and start seeing what their dog sees, because they rely on visual and audio cues from us to perform these obstacles. And it's very common for beginner students to give inadvertently the wrong signals. And so we ask them to try and get into the dog's mind. What is the dog looking at as it approaches a jump? Because most people will run by a jump, and then they're surprised when their dog follows them and runs by it and doesn't go over the jump. The dog's being a good dog. He's following you.
You do the jumps yourself, and you'll go through the tunnels yourself?
Well, you might have to do the jump yourself the first time in order to get the dog over it. And then as the dog starts to understand that, when the hand goes towards the jump, I'm supposed to go towards the jump. Then people start thinking, oh, I see what my dog's seeing, and it makes it easier for them to train their dogs.
How about designer breeding? Do you have any comments about specifically breeding, overbreeding?
Well, there isn't a lot of that currently in agility, because some of the agility venues insist that you have purebred dogs. However, amongst purebred breeders, there are some people that are starting to breed smaller, faster dogs that are aimed at clients who want to do agility. And I don't know that that has, there have been no studies that show that there are any negative effects on dogs from that. In fact, keeping dogs smaller and leaner is probably healthier for them over their whole lifetime.
What about people that do things like labradoodles, you know, labradors and poodles, so because they look cute? Is that, do you think that's a positive thing for the canine population?
I think breeders would definitely be against that sort of thing, because dog breeds have been developed over time for certain reasons, and labradors, which are dogs that I happen to prefer, are dogs that were bred for sporting and hunting, and this is one of the popular dogs for mixing with other breeds, and you mentioned labradoodles. But I don't know. I like Labradors just the way they are. That's my personal opinion. I'd like to see them going like that.
They're kind of like Franken dogs, you know, in my own opinion.
But I have no qualms about training mixed breed dogs to do agility. They can perform agility just as well as purebred dogs, and sometimes even better. So, and there are venues for not just the American Kennel Club conducts agility events. There are other venues. There's the North American Dog Agility Council and the United States Dog Agility Association, and those two venues accept mixed breed dogs.
Great.
So if you have a mixed breed dog, you can still do agility.
So if you're interested in picking up a dog and you're interested in agility, you still can go to the kennels, because most of those are mixed breeds.
A lot of them are mixed breeds, and we do agility demos for the Humane Society of Sarasota County every year. They ask us to do an agility demo, and we're happy to do it for them and help them adopt out dogs. And we give discounts to people who have adopted their dogs from the shelter.
That's great.
All right, very good. Once again, and we're just finishing up here, this is Kaz Kazi. Give your either an email or contact and give phone number information.
That's right, Ocean Wolf Agility. You can reach us at oceanwolfagility@comcast.net. Phone number here in Sarasota, 922-5704, or P.O. Box 5634 in Sarasota, zip code 34277.
All right, very good. And I just want to mention my two dogs, Rudy and Moo. This one was for you guys.
Well, great. Well, thank you, Steve, and Steve Squared.
Thank you.